This is exactly the very same idea that I am affirming this evening. I'm glad to tell you tonight that Karl Marx dwells in literally hundreds of thousands of people tonight over in Europe and in other places. Do I mean the person of Karl Marx? No, there is not one. There is teaching, etc. If someone would look at this way, everybody would give you an idea of what we're talking about. Let's read chart number 42 if you would please, Brother Thompson. Notice here on this particular chart, this, of course, is what different layer says about it, and I don't know this first of all, that this is simply, as he can see, that his idea of what the word for the transformed is well, meaning in Romans 7, 17, 20, Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11. Doesn't it make it right? That's just merely his view. Well, I'll take a look down here if you would please. But according to Mike, McNally, in his commentary, he says that he would express absolute rules for the man by the figure of dwelling. That's what I'm talking about tonight, dear friend. I'm talking about the absolute rule or dimension as being how or the manner of the mode in which the Spirit of God dwells in the heart of the Testament Christian. It is not the person, but it is as one takes the Word of God and allows it to rule, to dominate, to actually be that which is standard by which he lives. And that's what I'm talking about when I talk about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Let's see chart number 43, if you would, number 1. And notice here some of the passages that might write in. Well, we look at chapter 43, verses 7 and verse 9. Notice here he says, this is the place of my throne, where I will dwell. Standing on ground, and the house of Israel shall go forth no more than 5 miles away. Now I put this one away, therefore, and I will dwell in the midst of them. Friends, what does that mean? Does that mean that God himself actually left heaven, and there he dwelt, that he no longer possessed heaven, that he no longer lived in heaven? Is that the idea of what we're talking about? Friends, let's look next, if you would, at chart number 46, Mama. Here is a statement, and I bring this to the idea that I really want to get across. A word is a cry of an idea. It is, of the Spirit, it is a sound or a symbol which stands for an idea or a concept. It is the idea or the concept which is put within the mind by means of a sound or concept or a symbol word. Hence, the word, sound or symbol, does not literally or actually dwell in the mind. Only the idea or the concept. That's what I believe is the meaning of the basic idea of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Friends, we need to understand that the Bible clearly teaches that the Holy Spirit dwells, but the question is, how does he dwell? I'm going to see chart number 105 now, Brother Ron, if you will please. And here is a passage, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, that is corresponding to a parallel passage in a parallel passage for Colossians chapter 3. Now, I'm going to see you look at these passages. Paul says, don't be not required by this and say it, but be filled with the Spirit. I want to hear you. Speaking to yourself in song, man, and spirit in song, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, notice if you would please hear, let the word of life run in your next week in all wisdom. Now, watch the singularity here. Teaching and encouraging one another in song, man, and spirit in song. Friends, is that not parallel to speaking to yourself in song, man, and spirit in song? There we have singing, there we have singing. Here we have making melody, there it is with praise in your hearts to the Lord. It is my basic idea, if we look at this, that Colossians 3 verse 16 is a commentary, inspired commentary, upon the statement made by the Apostle Paul over here in Ephesians chapter 5, or chapter verse 18, I'm sorry. Notice he said, but he filled with the Spirit. Friends, this is a command. It is not something that is given. It is a suggestion or a command. And the Apostle Paul says in the other passage, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Does he mean one thing here and another thing here? Is he telling us on one time that at one time to be filled with the Spirit, and that at another time that we are indeed to be, let the word of Christ dwell in us richly? you and I need to understand that the word dwell, if it is found in the Bible, does not always or is not always to be understood as a literal word. Simply talk number 24, if you were pleased, brother Ron, and notice here a very interesting statement found in Revelation chapter 2, verse 13, where they read to the people of Pergamum. Notice he says, I know where thou dwellest, even where Satan's throne, our Savior, thou art also where Satan was. Now, do we not understand that he is talking about the evilness and the wickedness that right is there at that particular time? Do we not understand that indeed he is not talking about that Satan actually lived there? He does not literally dwell there. There is not a street address there, my friend, where we can say this is where Satan dwells, and he dwells in the body. But he's talking about the rule. He's talking about the dominion that is being exercised by Satan through and by his various minions. Notice also, as we look at this, that in Romans chapter 7, and I don't think we have a chart of that, brother Ron, verse number 17, the Apostle Paul speaks that sin dwelleth in me. Literally, is there a dwelling of sin in the physical body? No. It is the idea of one who is under the dominion of that which is opposed to the will of our Heavenly Father. Let us notice now, chart number 99, if you would please, brother Ron, and let's notice a very interesting thing here. One passage of inspired scripture says the Holy Spirit does it. Another passage of scripture says that the Word does it. As I said, that could be multiplied, but I did not want to label you down with a couple of passages to read. But notice here, and if you don't have time to read, the Bible says the Spirit gives the instruction. And over in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, the idea of instruction from the Word of God. We can look at Word, we can look at verse 3. We have implied that you want to step in 8, verse 1, and there is a verse 2, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, good people, as we look at this, I suggest there are two choices. That if it is to be viewed separately, then they have the Holy Spirit for extra, making one for your qualification, and the Word of God doing that on another occasion. Is that the case, or is it the same action simultaneous? I am convinced beyond the shadow of doubt, and I believe that this proves that we cannot deny that it is the Holy Spirit that works through the Word, and the Word that has been revealed and confirmed by the Spirit of God is indeed that which a child of God allows to live and to dwell in that particular individual. And so when we notice this, let's keep this particular point in mind. For instance, the Spirit of God dwell in an individual. Indeed, he does. The difference between Brother Pat and myself is not does he, but how does he. Brother Pat then thinks that the Holy Spirit, the person of the deity, actually literally enters the physical body that you're going to be looking at now. I believe it is a representative embodied that as one allows the Word of God to rule, dominate, and control his very life. Well, let's go on. Let's notice in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. The Apostle Paul made an argument concerning the power of the Word of God. Local scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Tell us here that the man of God may be perfect. That word does not refer to sinless perfection, but it refers to indeed one who is complete. The Word of God, the Word of God has that particular power, my friend. It's the right one, exactly right God wants him to be. What word do I talk about? Why, it is the Word of God, my friends, that has or was 2,000 years ago approximately divinely revealed, Holy Spirit confirmed. I want you, if you would please, to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, and look please at verses 13 and 14. Ephesians chapter 1, and notice with me verses 13 and 14. Here, the Apostle Paul says, in whom you also trusted, and after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and then also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest divine inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, until the praise of the glory of God. simple. The answer you put in verse number 13, you heard the word. Notice in verse number 14, which is the earth, it is the guarantee. Friends, grammatically speaking, which in verse 14 can only apply to the word that is found in verse 14, the word of truth. That it refers to something else. But here is the word that has been confirmed. And the Apostle Paul says that you, Ephesians, having received the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit, which was the means by which they were revealed and by which they were confirmed, now you have that word, which is the guarantee of all things that God has promised. God cannot lie. Let's see if you would please chart number 106 very hurriedly, Bob. Notice here in Acts 5 and verse 32. The Apostle Peter, in advance of what the apostles were doing, he said, if we are in the presence of these things, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the whole of the Holy Ghost, that God has given to them all upon him. Now, what Peter is affirming here is the very thing that Jesus said to them in John 15:26-27. The Comforter, that is the Holy Ghost, he will take it from the Father, and he said the Spirit of truth. Now, what? He shall testify, look at that word, and he also shall bear, look at that word, testify and witness are exactly the same word, or not exactly the same word, but they are the same word in the original language. But notice if you want here, what the Apostle Peter said we're doing here is exactly what Jesus said you will do. The Spirit will bear witness, truth of the righteous, and you also will bear witness. And that is what the Apostle is talking about. Read with me, please. You go to chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. How can we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be taught by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by them that heard him? Now, all the Lord so bears them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divine miracles, and the gift of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Jesus said, this is what you're going to do. Peter said, that's what we are doing. The Apostle Paul heard the same thing. Friend, it is the word revealed by inspiration, confirmed by miraculous manifestations of the Holy Spirit 2,000 years ago approximately, and it is that which stands before us as the earnest, as that which is a guarantee. Paul said in Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, if the hope of eternal life was gone, that cannot lie. And he has given us his word, he has confirmed it, and it is with absolute assurance that we can stand and look at it. Thus, my friends, the word indwelling in the hearts and the minds of an individual is the means by which God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit dwells in the heart of the Testament Christians. I can reject it, or I can accept it. We need to look very closely at this, because indeed, the only any thoughts whatsoever, dear people, this is the only way, and the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit dwells this way. This is what Brother Pat would agree with, or not the only way, but he would agree in the representative inquiry. And so as we meditate upon this, I want you to look very closely at the thoughts that we have presented. My Father dwells in me. The kingdom of God dwells in me. The God of heaven, the Father himself dwells in me.